Welcome everyone to the local treble clef, and we have a special interview this evening. I feel like we've come full circle because this is the year anniversary to our podcast that we've only got to do for 4 to 5 months now since the pandemic. And we're first show we feature the Writhers, and it just so happens they're coming out with a new EP this week, and we are interviewing them for our year anniversary show. So that is really cool. My name is Maylee, and I'm one of your hosts.
My name is Pete.
And welcome back to Local Treble Clef. So we're going to talk about the Writhers and their new EP. It's coming out Friday, and we listened to it, the songs. We have some good feedback for you guys. Like, your sophomore album, I feel like, is... it really showcases you guys as musicians. Like, it's, I like it. So we'll go ahead and just have you guys say hi to the listeners, and then we'll go right into our interview.
Well, it's good to be back. even virtually.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on, especially in such short notice.
Oh yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So we definitely wanted to talk about like a couple things that you guys did during the pandemic. And then obviously you made an album, and Pete kind of brought up something when we were going over our meeting about how you guys wrote. Go ahead and ask them, Pete.
Oh, the creative process of just being in the pandemic, how you create as artists, where you're kind of, we're separated for a while, and I know everybody has to change a little bit, but
yeah. So like, how did you stay creative during this whole time, like, to create an album? I mean, I feel like everyone's motivation was lost. So,
oh yeah, mine was. I don't know, Rick, like, how long was it until we finally decided to record the thing? From the beginning of the pandemic, because we were ready to record, but then the, you know, lockdown happened, and that pretty shut down plans. And then, like you said, a lot of motivations went away. I was kind of out of it for a while, but I mean, Rick, do you remember how long it was?
So, we had actually aside from the intro and the outro to this EP, all these songs were songs that we had been have been playing for a little while now.
Okay.
We had started recording in February, and for the most part, I think we got, you know, the drum. So my part's done within that time, or at least close to done. And then the lockdown happened in March. So I think we were kind of separated from each other for a month or two, I'd say.
Yeah, two months, sounds right.
Yeah, Chewy and I both live up here in Orange County, so we got together once kind of over that time, and we started working on newer stuff. But we didn't get together as a band until probably May, like end of May, I think.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Well, that's cool that you already had some of the songs written. I didn't know if you guys just, you know, thought, okay, well, this is the time. Everything's shut down. Let's just sit down and write some shit out.
I mean, I kind of wish we could take advantage of the time more, but it more of just like slowed the process, because I think we would have had this out a lot earlier, at least by a couple months, I think.
Originally, it was slated for early June.
Yeah, we had. Okay. So
yeah, I don't even remember.
Yeah,
that's right. The tour.
I remember because it was a week before the tour and a week after my birthday. So I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I had plans. So I organized a tour for the summer, which would have been right after the release or for the release of this. We had plans for things that we still have plans to do. You know. Social media content stuff and things like that. But because of this, everything is kind of slowed down. this piece being the major thing if it was supposed to get out, you know, come out months ago.
Right. Right. And then Robert, we kind of talked about, you said that you threw together a song in 24 hours. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, that's completely unrelated to the EP.
Oh.
Yeah. We can either talk about that now or come back to it in a minute.
If it's not part of the EP, then I guess we can come back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back.
Okay, cool.
So could I speak to that concept real fast though?
Yeah.
I think that's been the helpful, one of the helpful things about writing during this, even if it wasn't, you know, like I said, two of the songs that we wrote during the pandemic have been used on this EP. But we've written three other brand new songs that, the concept were sort of, they were sort of shelled out, either Robert writing parts of it and sending us demos or us having, riffs and things kind of in mind already and then coming together and making them work. So I guess to answer your question from earlier is that's how we've been writing newer stuff during this, is either by demoing it out or having those ideas kind of already have in our heads.
Yeah, okay.
Somewhat prepared.
Yeah.
I guess also like to the creative process during all of this is we're not as, you know, technologically advanced enough to like do all the recording and whatnot from home, which would be nice. So that's part of the reason that this was delayed, because obviously, you know, we wanted to play it safe. The first couple months we weren't seeing each other at all, but then little by little we started practicing again, and we were just trying to stay clean and you know, as safe as we could, but still being in the same room together.
Right.
And I think eventually we kind of got to the point where we're still being safe in general, but once we're together, we're just kind of, we see each other enough. We're like, well, you know, we might as well be in the same house or something.
Yeah.
Time.
You've created a pod.
Yeah.
You're podding.
Or maybe it's just a gamble. Maybe we're just gambling, but you know, we're doing what we can, trying to still be creative and finish stuff.
Yeah. And I think at the same time, Robert had spoken about the motivation a little bit, and I'm kind of on the other end. For me, I'm a, like, when I get super anxious about getting things done, it's like, come on, let's get it done. I need to do this. I want to do this. I want to get it done. So yeah. I guess we kind of have to balance each other out.
Yeah.
I'm on the end of the spectrum. Also there,
yeah,
with you, Rick. Well, because just like right before like COVID had hit, I had like a couple months before had just graduated college, so I didn't have that taking up a bunch of my time or anything. Like, mm-hmm. I was literally just working. So especially when the pandemic hit, I was like, okay, work, be creative, and yeah, because if I wasn't like being creative or doing anything or any of this, I'd literally just be working and sleeping all the time.
Yeah.
So for me, creatively, this actually kind of worked out.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Ghoul Gang Gala for a little bit. For like, so you do that every year, or is this the second time? Which one was this one?
This was the third year.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it sucks because it really killed our momentum, because it was only 2 years before, but you know, each year got bigger in a way. So this kind of kicked it back down to size. Because the first year we were just in this little tiny place called the Go Lounge in La Mesa. But it was a party. We had a bunch of bands. We had costumes. It was a good time. But, you know, it was just a tiny show. And then the next year we booked like brick by brick somehow, like by just, I don't know. It was like by chance, because we had to switch venues last minute and we were somewhere downtown, and that's like a whole story how that place got shut down. And then we had to find somewhere last minute, and I was trying to look for something else because we were trying to make it an all ages show.
Okay.
You know, it's last minute, so you just find what you can. And then I was like, well, that'd be cool if we could do it at Brick by Brick. It's big. It's not all ages, but it's big. But they won't book us. And I just thought, why not? And I emailed them, and their booking lady got back to me, and it happened.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, I was hoping this year we could make it as big as last year and maybe all ages, but you know.
I feel like considering considering 2020 and all of the fun things that have happened, you know, I think we did pretty well. We raised a good amount of money. We got a lot of viewers, got a lot of shares and all that stuff.
Sure. Oh, I'm not saying it was bad, but I just meant it.
Oh, I know. I know.
A physical event.
What could have been?
Yeah. If it was that same rate of growth, it would have been pretty cool this year, probably.
Yeah. Pete had a couple comments about the Ghoul Gang Gala that we were talking about.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was fun watching the chat room. You get be with people, but the chat room was pretty funny during the whole show. And I love your in-between clips you did between the bands and the setup. Coming out and doing that intro. I'm envious of the little pencil mustache because I could never pull that off. And I've always wanted one of those. But I really loved how you did that. That really added that touch to it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm also jealous of jealous of his mustache.
Well, me from a couple years ago would be jealous of my mustache. I think I've only just achieved the level of greatness that I can now when it comes to facial hair. But yeah, we got a lot of compliments on the stream. On the online gala this year. What was it? There was a dude in, I feel bad. It was Finland or Sweden, somewhere like in that part of the world. So it was like, it was like 8 a.m. or something. He woke up super early just so he could watch it. And
awesome.
Yeah. And he said it was the best like stream he'd watched during the pandemic, which is crazy to think. Mm. But we had people saying that we were raising the bar pretty high for other people's streams and being a good example of what a online concert could be.
Yeah. So were you the one who put it all together, Robert? Are you the one that edited it and kind of produced that type of everything that's going on?
Yeah. Short answer, yeah.
Because I know that there was like the one band that wasn't at the Tower Bar performing that did the cover.
Oh, yeah, Project Sellout, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
We had three pre-recorded bands contribute clips, exclusive clips to the show.
Okay.
And we just did that because we wanted to, I thought, well, it's the gala, you know, we're trying to make it a big show. And it was just the first thing that came to mind to make the show bigger than just two bands is to have some like have kind of a clip show going on.
Yeah, that was really cool. Like I thought it was very clever. I liked it. And then how you added in the cover for your Point Pleasant song for the video. Oh, yeah. The
chiptune one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't think that guy knows he was part of the stream because I didn't ask him specifically about that. I just told him, or I asked him after he put it out. His name is, I can send you a link for your notes, but he's Everyday Chiptune, I believe, or Chiptune Everyday. And he's part of another band that we're buddies with from LA called Q-Bomb. But he made that cover and I asked him if I could upload the full thing on our YouTube channel eventually. And he's like, you can do whatever you want with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you. And he got the download link and it just sat on my computer for a while. And we were actually expecting a couple more like band contributions for the clip show. And we didn't get them. So when I was structuring the thing, like making the little in-between host segments, I thought, hey, well, I can round it out to four clips if I just plug this in. And so I just threw it in there. But yeah, I don't think he knows that that was part of the show.
That's cool that he just made that cover and then contacted you and was like, hey, I did this to your song.
Yeah, I think we got tagged because again, we've played a few shows with the band that they're part of. And it's funny, I don't think this person specifically said this, but a couple of the band members from that band joke that they like rip us off. So like there's already this kind of mutual, like, I don't know, sharing of ideas, or we're inspiring them or something. I don't know.
A pool of inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah. Without just flat out saying, yeah, they're ripping us off. The nice version of that. The nice version of that.
You're their mentors.
Something.
Oh, Chewy is here. Yay.
Oh, look who walked in the door.
He's joining.
Mr. Eggplant.
Love it. Love it. It
sounds Welcome, even funnier Chewy. If you can't see the picture.
I know, right?
Chewy, Mr. Eggplant, Morsel.
That's Chewy, Morsel, Morsel.
He's muted.
I think he's just taking his shoes off in the entryway, trying to be polite.
Okay, so while
he comes inside.
While he's getting situated, let's segue into your EP and the songs and the creative process and, you know, maybe give us a little tidbit of what some of the songs are about. And is it, so I noticed that the first song definitely is an intro to the last song, right?
Yes.
Just making sure, but yeah, because the first song, Devil, I like how the intro is. I like how it's, you know, dramatic, but then you guys all chime in to what's the lyric that you guys say together?
Devil Mask approaches.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if we were all going to do it at the same time.
We usually mess up the timing on that anyway. So I was like, is it going to happen again?
I'm sure Zoom wouldn't help us either.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Whatever delays. Yeah, it's Devil Mask approaches.
Okay.
I always laugh at that part because there was at one point in the studio where like, yeah, Rick, you already know.
Yeah, I know.
So 1K Rick, the guy who's mixing us, he was mixing it and it wasn't like what it sounds like now, but the whole Devil Mask approaches, it sounded like a Queen part, like the harmonizations. It was weird. Like I still laugh at it every time I hear it.
When you guys record something like that in studio, do you have each your own parts and then they put it together, like the tracks, or are you all together and it's like, okay, 1, 2, 3, go.
For the vocals?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we were all shouting together.
Okay.
I believe.
So if you were to deconstruct the vocals in some of those songs, it was us goofing around on certain parts and he just kept them.
Yeah. There's like an Easter egg in one of the later songs in What Is That, where we all shout, "What is that?" But on one of the last takes, we all shouted in British accents. We said, "Oi." And so if you listen really close, you can hear that.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that. And then you have Rot, Rot, Rot is the second song. And that song, I mean, 91X Loudspeaker needs to get that. Like, it's definitely a radio play song. Like, I feel like, you know, that one's kind of got that traditional, like, rockabilly punk sound to it. And I don't want to say it's poppy because, you know, I feel like that. But it's like, it's just got that good hook, you know, type of feel to it, I feel like.
Well, that's our Ramones core song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Tim Piles does have the EP, so we're just waiting for him to ask us to be on it and talk about it.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But yeah, that was exactly the thing when we were making that song. I was like, let's do something that's like the Addicts or Ramones, like that early pop punk. in quotes, pop punk.
Right. Yeah, like I said, I didn't want to say it was poppy. It's definitely got it's the traditional punk. Like, yeah, it's definitely something I feel like could be have radio play for sure. So I hope that they pick it up. That would be so cool.
Fingers crossed.
I think we hope so too.
Yeah.
If I did listen to the radio, that'd be pretty awesome to be driving, tune it in and be like, what?
I know. That would be so cool.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers, everybody.
So the third song, what is that? I feel like if there's a sound that kind of could explain the Writhers traditional sound, it would be kind of like this song. Because I feel like some of your other songs that you've had, you know, before kind of, you know, it's like this is kind of you guys. So, but also the song is obviously about something. I feel like it's about UFOs. I don't know. What is it? Like, just go ahead and explain a little bit about what is that?
I mean, you got it. It's about UFOs. I mean, I guess if you want to make it about something, it's about the fear of the unknown. But every time we play that song, I intro it as it's about when I was a kid and I had just seen Independence Day. And I am like in the back seat of the car looking up in the sky and I see like weird lights and I freak out because I'm like, oh crap, they're here. What is that? I don't know. And that's the whole song.
That's cool. It worked out for a song though. I mean, it really does. So I've been taking notes, listening, and I like re-listen, and thanks for sending the early link for us to listen to it. Like I said, I really am enjoying this EP. And then, so on the fourth song, Pulp, I'm feeling that maybe you got the title for the album from the last lyric of this song. And then also I feel like this song is where Chewie's guitar is very prominent in his guitar skills. Like it's got kind of a chunkier sound, I would say. So
a chewier sound.
A tastier sound.
A chewier sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we wrote that one when arranging that one, I wanted to do something that was like a counter melody to what the bass was doing. And okay. I wanted to do it something that was, we had the bass rhythm going on, and then I wanted something rhythmically counter to what the bass was doing and still harmonizing at the same time. And it actually turned out really well. So it was a gamble, but it worked out.
Yeah. I was just like, wow, this is, you know, I'm just kind of bouncing around to it while I'm listening to it. And yeah, you could definitely hear more of just a, you know, your guitar really picks up in that one.
Yeah.
So, and then how did you decide that you wanted to name the album, from the lyric from the song?
Well, I guess when we were coming up with names, I had like a whole list of ideas, and most of them, usually I base them off a lyric. I don't know. I kind of like that idea instead of naming an album after a song or something random, naming it after something that's, you know, from the album. So it makes it like cohesive. And I think that it was just the best sounding one.
I think you also had a cool art idea for it too.
Yeah, that too. So I think it encompasses, it's mainly that song and the whole like intro, outro, all that kind of like plays together.
Yeah. And it gives everyone, like you said, kind of like one of those Easter eggs where it's like, you really have to listen to the whole album and then get these things from it. And be like, oh, okay, I see where they're coming from with all of this.
Yeah, I think what's also fun about that song is that was like That's like the oldest song, I think, from this collection of songs, because like the music was like that bass riff. I was thinking of that bass riff like right after we played our very first show back in 2017.
Oh, and wow.
And then the year before that, earlier in 2017, I remember, Rick, we were at an Addicts show at Observatory, and I was telling you about, oh, I have this like idea for these lyrics that I like, and it was just that end part. It was the, you know, I'm a madman, you best be glad, man, that when I beat you to a pulp, I'm going to eat you in one gulp. And so, yeah, I kind of like it because it's, you know, it's bringing, it unites the old music, the old direction with all the new stuff. So pretty fun.
Cool. And then, so then the outro would be the last song, Devil, that, and that's actually, so that's the song with all the lyrics and stuff.
Wait, there's Cold Day.
Oh, there's Cold Day. Sorry, I missed that one. Dang it.
It's like the best song, too.
A Cold Day in Hell. Do you have a little, like, what was that song, what inspired, like, you to write that song? What is it kind of about a little bit?
Well, that song, besides the intro, outro, which, again, we usually do those really close to recording. Besides the intro, outro, I think that's the newest song. And we came up that one at random. I think it was just a jam session.
Yeah.
And we called it, like, when we demoed just the music, our bassist had left and I just picked up the bass and I was playing bass when we demoed that one. And I think we just called the track Calisurf, which is a reference to the band Calabrese. Because we were like, this song sounds like a Calabrese song, but extra surfy. So that's pretty much how it started. That's the behind the scenes on that one.
And now okay. It's called Ska Clicky Waz.
Yeah.
That's the song? Because in your other interview that we did with you guys, you were talking about the Ska Clicky Waz, and I was wondering what song that was going to be in.
We were raving like lunatics about something called Ska Clicky Waz. You had no idea what you were talking about. You just shook your head.
We're like, oh, okay, well, we'll see what it sounds like. but I was definitely going to ask you guys which song was Clicky Waz.
Well, it's because we have the right after the intro, it has the clicky part where I'm hitting the rim of the tom. And then it goes into the whoa. So somehow that became Clicky Waz, that's what we called it. And then we have a ska part at the end and in the middle, and so it's Ska Clicky Waz.
It's always funny.
So what's the song, Rick, that you were, because in our last interview you were saying that there was a song that Robert wanted you guys were creating, and there was one where you were saying like it was kind of hard and you had the timing off, or
it was that
like
one
that it was that one.
I thought that, I thought that was Greasy Strangler.
For the ones that aren't recorded yet, it's a song called Greasy Strangler, but we have a few of those that I'm still not 100% on time with, but continue to practice.
Well, now you're 100% on Greasy Strangler, so...
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we nailed it at the gala.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. We played that one during the gala, for sure.
Well, I've noticed it's cool that you were saying that in this EP, you can tell that our abilities as musicians kind of have gone up a little bit, comparatively speaking, or at least are more noticeable. Because I'm noticing that myself as a drummer in the newer songs that we're writing. We have a song that we haven't really shown anyone yet that it's going to be really difficult for me to play live because it's a lot going on.
I know.
But I'm glad about it, you know.
Wait, just give me like a code word. Which one?
Zoinks.
Oh, yeah, that one's fun.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one. There's a lot happening for me.
Well, part of it was also because that one, that whole song is based in two different riffs that I demoed and sent out to you guys. For like two separate songs, and then we said like, hey, we can mesh this together.
Push them together.
Yeah. Kind of forcefully, but it works.
I was going to say, I don't know if I told this story last time, but like, one of our last shows of, I think, 2018, we had a sound guy tell us that we were a ska band.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, huh, okay. We're a ska band. And so I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Did we write Cold Day after that happened?
I think so.
Okay, because that may have had some influence on that.
Yeah, I think we were like, yeah, we should write a ska song then. Yeah. Since everybody thinks we're a ska band.
Let's put some ska in there.
A ska
band with no horns.
Clicky was.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think that for you guys. Ska would not come to my mind at all. I mean, it's like you guys are more of like you said, it's like a mix of everything, but it's more like a goth punk style, you know? I just couldn't even imagine ska.
I don't remember what his reasons were when he said that, but it was pretty amusing. It was just like, okay, cool.
Were
it's probably because of Robert's outfit.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. It's just like maybe his outfit with the suspenders, and I don't know, was the crowd skanking? Because it's like
probably skanking.
So Rick, that was kind of a good segue to bring that you were saying about you guys becoming better musicians, because now getting to the last song, Devil, your drum is very prominent in this song. It's like
This one was funny because it's supposed to, so it's an extension of, so this is Devil Mask Defeated is an extension of Devil Mask Approaches. But it's funny because now the guys make fun of me for this, because in the studio I had to just continue to play that part, and it's the same part a few times in a row, you know, like maybe like 25 measures of it. And I was like, I have to play the drums the whole time, and they just they dog on me for that the whole, it's like yeah, that's your job.
It was so awkward recording.
What I meant was I have to play, because I thought what we were going to do was record like 10 measures of, again, the same thing, and then just duplicate it so that it's 20 or 25.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up playing the whole 25 in a row or whatever it is. And they won't let me live that down anymore.
I actually don't get why we had to do that, because didn't we loop like the guitars?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it was cool that I got to do it.
Dude, it was...
Yes, we did. We looped the guitars and everything else, but not the drums.
It was awkward and hilarious because I was actually in the room with you while you were recording the drums. And so they told me, they're like, all right, it has to be an exact count. Like, he can hear the click track. I can't. But he's sitting there like, all right, you got to do this many beats. So I literally sat in front of the drum kit with a little clicker staring at him, just clicking until we got to like 100 or however many it was, and I'm just like, oh good god, let this be over. It felt like it was like forever.
Well, it was funny too, because originally I had recorded other things on top of it. I put like different tom noises and different cymbals and stuff, and we ended up just scrapping that. But it was the same thing for a good, you know, what, like 30-45 minutes of that pattern on the song, and then, you know, dun 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 dun, digga digga dun dun on different toms, and then crashes. And it was fun. It was a fun thing for me to do, because I wrote my parts in my head, and I'm like, I wonder what it's going to sound like, because we couldn't practice it.
I think it's funny that you point that out as like being showing us as art, like musicians growing our craft, because I almost feel like, I'm not saying we phoned that one in, I'm just saying that, like, because we looped guitars and it's kind of repetitive. I mean, it's definitely...
No, I mean, no, you're right. You're right.
But it's funny because it's like, that's the song that was the most, like, just kind of, like, thrown together, just to see what...
It was thrown on the wall to see what sticks, basically.
Yeah, and kind of improvised.
Oh wow!
And it feels it's funnier that's the one for the drums, because I literally play the same thing the whole song.
It's just very, you know, because it's very drum based, so it's true. You know, as it stands out for sure.
So, to me, it feels like it came out like pretty quickly, or like pretty naturally.
Oh
so,
yeah,
yeah. Well, while they're sitting there, like we had the the drum part down, and then they're sitting there messing with the guitars. I'm behind everybody, which it almost felt like it was like scripted. I'm sitting there with the bass, and suddenly just out of my subconscious, I kind of just pulled this like doom metal sort of like bass riff that I had been holding on to for like months and months, just not sure where to use it. And as they're sitting there, suddenly I just start playing doodling, doodling, doon, doon. And everyone just kind of looks back and goes, huh, that works.
And that's funny that he mentions that, because like it's like that's the like skeleton bass line for it, and that was pretty awesome. And I actually, Kenny and I on that song, we kind of like sat in when Kenny was laying down the track for that. I was like, you know, that's great, but we need to finish that phrase, because it seemed like it was just like going off into nothing. And I was like, well, you need to add like this ending tagline. And then he had the doom, 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 which kind of ties in with the intro track of that. So it was awesome how it kind of came together. And
Awesome. It was pretty much just like, okay, we're making like a follow up, a continuation, what have you, of Devil Mask Approaches. Go, you know, whatever you come up with.
Yeah.
But I guess it does show like our musicianship growing, that we can just throw some crap together and it turns out great.
I was gonna, and I know this is like super technical, and I mean, but we're a music podcast, so I out of my curiosity of a music fan, so when you guys get these songs together, I mean, obviously, Robert, I know that you're probably the main writer. Do you have these lyrics and you're like, okay, I wrote this song, and then you already have a melody to it and you're kind of singing it out without instruments, and then everyone chimes in with what they feel would go with it? Or like, how does that really work with four people?
Okay, well, there's a couple ways that happens. In the very beginning, and with some songs, it's like I'll write like a bass riff, like a pretty simple bass riff that can be expanded upon. And then like structure the whole song with just the riff, and then I write lyrics over it, and then I give it to these guys and we finish it. And they'll ask me like ideas, I guess, like what were you thinking for the drums? And it's funny too, sometimes like Rick will ask me if he should do this or that with the drums, and he'll show me and I'll just be like, yeah, that sounds good. Like, I don't know how to play drums. I trust you. And same thing with like the guitar. Since the bass is usually mostly written, I just let, you know, Kenny just kind of add some flair, like do what he wants with it.
Throw my flavors in there.
Yeah. sometimes we jam out a song, like we'll just be together and we'll make up something, and that will turn into a song or the jumping off point for a song. And then lyrically, I don't think I've ever written like lyrics first, like a full set of lyrics before the music, except for the I Like to Leave Marks song. Those lyrics were written before any music happened. But for the most part, I'll have like a couple lines or a theme or an idea, but I don't really like to write lyrics until I have a structure to, you know, to put the, you know, to write around.
So basically, that usually looks like us playing the song and Robert going, and then he'll like figure out what the lyrics are. So we have demos of him doing nonsense and then writing the lyrics over them later.
Just singing.
That's
random.
Really cool.
That's what happens every time I write a song, because lyrically I'm horrible, but I can come up with melodies and vocal patterns. So like I'm the same way. Like I come up with like a vocal pattern first, and then, well, let's see what works.
That's how David Byrne from Talking Heads prefers to write music. Like he wants to like shape the sound that the vocals are going to make, as if it was an instrument. He doesn't care what the words say. He wants to figure out how the words will be said.
Again,
if it was its own instrument. And
that
then,
makes sense. And I think it fits us really well.
Yeah, and then he'll plug lyrics into it. And I mean, that's kind of the way I work. And I don't know if I picked that method just because I liked you know, Talking Heads songs, I think it just kind of makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
Just be like Rob Zombie, just throw in whatever works, as long as it sounds cool.
And the, yeah, every once in a while. Okay. Oh, Robert, did you want to go back to the 24-hour song thrown together?
Yeah, we can talk about that real quick. I got contacted by a lady on Instagram named Kara Spade, and she's just, you know, she's just like a pinup model, and she has a band herself that she started recently. And I don't know if this is the second year or the third year or what, but I guess she's been doing this like 24-hour song challenge for a little while now. And she'll just, you know, get different bands involved and ask them to like make a song in 24 hours. This year, her challenge was to make the song at least vaguely about 2020, just to be topical. And she said that the record was 6 hours, that someone finished their song in 6 hours. We finished our song in 5 hours, but I almost feel like we don't deserve like an award for that, because most of the other people's songs, not all of them, but most of them are at least like somewhat recorded and demoed out. And we just kind of did I don't know if you saw the clip, but we just recorded it live in a practice studio.
Okay. Is that on your Instagram page or your YouTube or both?
It's on her YouTube right now.
Okay.
We'll probably be moving it over in a bit, but I don't know. Maybe we'll keep it exclusive. It kind of depends on what the guys say, because we want to record that song properly coming up here soon.
Okay.
So we might just wait till we finish it, but you can check it out on her YouTube. I don't know what it's called. Her name's Kara Spade, though.
Okay.
So not to toot our own horns, but I'm really stoked at how good that song came out, especially oh, yeah. considering it was written in 5 hours.
Yeah.
That's and only cool. only like an hour and a half of that was actually us coming together to actually hash it out.
Yeah,
based totally. On like a 20-second record like demo that Robert did on GarageBand.
Oh yeah, so there you go. You're talking about song process. Like I think I did all the tracks. Like I made a crappy drum track. I did some bass, some guitars, and yeah, that's it. But so I came up with something that sounded cohesive, and then I showed it to them and I said this, and and then we'll add more. So yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Since Pete's the artist here, I'm going to have him ask about the little poster thing. Or yeah, did you want to talk about that? Can we talk about it? Or did you want to?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Go ahead, Pete.
Oh, yeah. We were just going to ask that on the poster, because you sent us a preview of that and it's looking really cool, that the pre-order, and you added some more characters and stuff to it. So adding to the history of the band, because you were talking about that before, that you wanted to create like a mythology or a storyline around the band.
Yeah, and that's exactly what that is. It's like, I guess you could say it's kind of the very first step toward, well, I don't know, not the very first step, but you know, it's one of the first steps towards expanding on what the Writhers are.
And is it it's not going to be like a virtual thing, right? Like, it's just your, like, is that something you're just going to have on your merch from now on, is those characters? Or is it like, yeah, so I don't know, maybe I'm just so old, I don't understand. Like, oh, is no. it going to be like the okay. gorillas? Like, you know, like it's a, you have the, are you going to make videos with those characters or?
Yeah, I guess you could, yeah, it'd be like the gorillas, because I'm kind of inspired by that. But yeah, we hope to someday, maybe we'll make like some comic books or, you know, some sort of expanded universe thing, telling stories. We want to do we won't talk too much about it, but we want to do something that's kind of like Mystery Science Theater or even Elvira, like hosting old movies.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
We want to do something like that, but with us, and we're going to kind of involve some other characters like that that cockroach guy, Roach Boy.
And, oh, that'll be cute. That'll be cool.
So the hope is eventually we're going to be doing a lot more than just music. And so we'll have kind of some stories to tell and just more fun. Rope in some more fans who maybe you're not necessarily a horror punk fan, but you like, you know, stupid riffing of old crappy movies.
Heck maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe you like, definitely.
Yeah, maybe you like horror comics and you haven't really listened to horror music, so you read the comics and then you get into the music.
Yeah.
Add a lot to it. Expand on our characters, because we all have our personas, but we're kind of working on who those people are.
No, that's great. You are really, really good with that branding and being creative. I mean, I really...
Oh, she said the B Pete, word.
Branding. I know.
Branding, I don't know.
Well, sorry. I mean, but it is. It's like, you know, you want to, you know, definitely brand yourself in other aspects too. And that's one thing that Pete and I discussed when we did the Cobra Kai pod, you know, we were trying to tell everyone about everyone's merch and everything going on about stuff, but we were talking about how you're really good with just keeping up on your Instagram and all the pages on the Instagram. Like, you're just, you got it going. Like, you know what you're doing. And I think that that really helps a band out to get more notoriety. Unfortunately, these days you kind of got to do the social media thing.
So. Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah. There's tons of times where I'm on like a band's Instagram that I know they do like a bunch of shows, but I look and I'm just like, they post something like once a month. How are they, what do they do?
Or it's like boring stuff. Like, it's just the same thing. It's like the same exact picture of them, or, you know, just pictures of them in the studio, like random pictures. And I don't know, sometimes that works, but like, you know, you want to keep people engaged. And I don't know, like, I come from a background of doing like comics and stuff. So, and making little YouTube movies and things way back when. So, you know, I want to do more. I don't want to just have music. We want to tell stories.
So. Yeah. We'll and that. Your memes that you make are funny.
That's another key. Band memes.
Exactly. Yeah, we've put Kenny in charge of the Ghoul Gang page, which posts most of the memes. So yeah. A lot of those are his creations.
Well, good job, Kenny. I thank enjoy him.
Balance that between the three other meme pages I run.
He's a professional.
Well, if anyone needs a meme page, Kenny's for hire.
I am meme lord.
Yes.
All right. Do you guys have anything else coming up? I mean, it's 2020 still. I mean, I couldn't imagine really anything's going on except what you can post, you know, on, I mean, at least you have your YouTube page now though.
Yeah. We got to work on stuff for that. I don't know what we want to talk about that, but we have a music video we're working on, but it's, we need to reshoot some of it.
It's in limbo right now.
Very tentative release date.
Well, it seems like most of our, I have a calendar of things written down because I'm like the organizer one in the band, and all these things are like, yeah, we're going to postpone that. We're going to push it back a little bit, just depending on some of the other things that we need to do. Again, this has been a weird year.
Oh, yeah.
I think we have a good excuse.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. But we do have a lot of things planned, which we're excited about.
Right. Yeah. It's just a matter of like, when everything can happen again. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's everyone's life right now. It's like, oh, I guess we can't really do that.
Exactly. Well, we had like another music video idea or two, but they required like giant, like a big group of people. And so that's out the window.
Oh, okay.
Well, the green screen, everybody in there.
will be some extras. We already have the t-shirts.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably, when things cool down again and we can do something like a big video like that, we'll definitely be putting a word out on our pages and inviting people personally as well, and try to fill out that crowd with enthusiasts.
You can sing along. Who's listening to your new EP 3 or 4 times already?
Join the ghoul gang.
Sweet. Exactly.
I was looking at it the other day. I thought it was funny that this new EP is like 30 seconds shorter than the first one. And it has
an extra song.
It has an extra song. Shorter. So I don't know if we're doing something right or wrong, but we're doing it.
Well, I think it just matters on how people like the songs.
Exactly.
The evil is more, it's more concentrated on this one.
Yeah.
More deadly.
I attribute that to not having Marks on this one. Marks was like a five and a half minute song, so.
That's true. Well, I thought between Cold Day and Devil Mask Defeated, I thought that was going to make up for Marks, because those are the second longest, the two longest tracks on this, but I guess all the other songs were so short.
So
I'll give us that it was more spread out, I would say. It's, we have more songs that are on average 2 minutes versus the last EP.
So the EP comes out this Friday, November 6th.
Yes, on Bandcamp. On Bandcamp only for now.
Okay. And then do you know when it will be available on Spotify? Are you guys not going to do that, or?
No, we're anti-Spotify. No. Well, no, it'll be on Spotify. It's just, digital distribution takes longer.
Okay.
So we're just so excited about the masters that we're like, let's get it out sooner rather than later. So we still have to wait on the CD, and we still have to wait on Spotify and Apple Music. But both of those should be by the end of the month.
Oh, okay.
So probably after Thanksgiving, right before the Christmas season starts, you'll be able to listen to it everywhere.
Oh, cool.
This Christmas season, give the gift of the Riders.
Yes. Well, for all the listeners out there, please do listen to their new EP come this Friday or whenever you can listen to it. And it's the Riders. You could probably find everything on their Instagram page, the Riders, WRITHERS. Not the Riders. It's the Riders. Or all the other ways people pronounce your band name.
That's why we like you guys.
Say it right.
I was saying it wrong until we went and saw you guys last Halloween on our first thing. I was calling it the Riders at first, and then we went to go see you guys, and then Robert, you make sure that you let everyone know how to pronounce. We're like, oh, okay, we better make sure.
I remember at shows, but I forget to tell people online, like for press or whatever. So
I've been sending a bio along with the music, and it has the how to pronounce.
Just think of rye bread. Rye bread.
It's rye bread. So RYE.THERS.
That's a good way to get it done right.
our digital press kit needs to include an MP3 that's just like all of us saying Riders.
The Riders.
We had like a t-shirt idea for that it's like it would go down the line, like all the mispronunciations all X'd out, and then finally just the band logo with the Riders at the bottom.
There you go.
That still needs to be a shirt.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll happen eventually.
Chewy's lobbying for that.
If it does, Pete and I will be wearing it. Well, thanks, guys. Thank you for taking the time tonight to talk to us about all this stuff. And I love it. I love the EP. So Yeah, thanks for letting us have the early listen. And, you know, Pete and I, we do this podcast just because we're music fans, you know? And so it's like, I think for you guys, it's probably neat to hear a different perspective from fans. And, you know, I mean, I do play some music, but it's like, I'm not obviously as technical as you guys are. And yeah, so it's just pure enjoyment of music. So.
Technical.
Yeah.
We're all very technical.
Yeah. Well, you know, like the technical musicians, you guys got a little more going on. I'm just like a open chord folk person.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
So thank you everyone for joining us tonight. And we are recording on election night. So hopefully the world doesn't end before we post. And
I thought I just heard sirens. That's why I was looking that way.
Ooh, the perch should be starting right about now.
Yeah.
Good luck, everybody.
If you're listening to this podcast, then things must be at least somewhat okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, let's put that out there.
Exactly. Yeah.
You made it to Friday. Things are okay.
Right? Yeah. All right. So we'll go ahead and sign off. Thank you, everyone. You can follow us on Instagram at The Local Treble Clef. And my name is Maylee.
And my name is Pete.
And we will go ahead and see you next time. We'll be right back.